Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. And tonight and this month, we have just started dealing with the passage of signs, understanding the end times. So we have been working with Dr. David Jeremiah's book, The Signs, the Book of Signs, and we are excited tonight to come together to celebrate and to learn more about the end times. So as we start tonight, we're going to start with prayer, as always. And after prayer, we will go into song, and after song we'll have scripture, and after scripture we will deal with it's just for prayer, and we'll see who all is on the line. For prayer, I'll be reading Nebuchadnezzar's second chapter, the first through the 13th verse, and we'll set up the scene. God, we come before you, and we just celebrate you. We thank you. We glorify your name. Lord, you have been so good to us. And we just ask that you continue to lead, guide, and direct us as we go through the evening. Lord, we're just asking that you would magnify yourself with us today as we are struggling to sit and understand the Word of God. And as we sit at your feet, as we try to operate learning more about you, that you will help us, oh God, have an understanding that will bring revelation knowledge, that as we operate on a daily basis, we will not forget but be very mindful of the signs of the times. Tonight we will have ask for special blessing for Jerry, who will be presenting, and Eric, who will help as well, and myself. Lord, as we come to talk about Europe and how it plays into the scheme of things, we thank you for this, and we magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Guide me until I'm sure.
Can you hear me now? So I'll be reading the second chapter of Daniel, the first to the 13th verse. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is why I have firmly decided. This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more, they replied, "Let the king tell the servants the dream, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. I have read for you Daniel, second chapter, 1 through the 13th verse. So at this time, we would like to have intercessory prayer. So who would like to do our intercessory prayer today? Dr. Nux, would you like to do it?
Yes. Yes. Can we ask you to share with us concerns that you might have for intercessory prayer and also praises that you might have for what you've experienced this past week and maybe what you're asking God to help you with in days to come.
Amen.
So we invite you to share with us at this time.
This is Shirley in Maryland. I'd like to first thank God for his grace and his mercy and carrying me through this week to live to see another year older, and also to keep my family in prayer as my brother-in-law was entered into hospice today.
I'm so sorry, Miss Shirley. When was your birthday?
Yesterday.
Mine was the 26th. I knew we had like minds. See, that's what like minds is.
We'll certainly pray for you.
This is Dr. Susie.
Okay.
This is Dr. Susie. I wanted to say thanks to God that I made it through another birthday. It was very challenging. My son went into the hospital early the morning of my birthday, and he's still there. I asked that you would pray for him, that he would not have any compromising types of germs and viruses that he would get from being in the hospital, because there's several things you can pick up. So I ask that you protect him, that God would protect him from that, and that we would pray for his safety and health. I just want to give a praise to the Lord for sustaining me through these years. I've been here a moment, and I'm just grateful that the Lord has used me. I was talking to Brother Brian, and he shared with me that a veteran, he was in a restaurant, and he just happened to be talking to a gentleman, and he told the gentleman he worked at Togus, which is the name of the VA where I worked, and he said, "Do you know Chaplain Susie by any chance?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Please let her know how grateful we are that you really helped our family." And I just want to say thank you, because sometimes you serve and you serve and you serve and you never know that you made a difference. And God dropped that seed into my spirit to remind me, because sometimes I feel like sometimes I need to hear it. Sometimes I need to hear it. And that was a blessing in disguise. And so I thank the Lord for that. So that's a praise for me.
Amen, Pastor Amen. Susie. We loved you at Togus.
Thank you, Jerry. I ask you to pray for Sydney as well. I can't pray for one child and not the other. So
okay, do we have anyone else to share with us?
This is Margaret from Florida. I just wanted to praise God for bringing us home safely. To find our home was okay. Everything was well and gave us traveling mercies. I'm so grateful. And that the grandbabies are doing good in daycare. The family seems to be standing on its own well. I'm very praising the Lord with great rejoicing. And I have a prayer request for a friend's daughter. The mother said, God is just not answering. And I said, well, we need to keep praying. Her son-in-law lost his job, and they were living on their savings, paying the mortgage on their home. And now they're in the process of selling the home because he got a job, and that was an answer to prayer in the Detroit area. And the people who are buying are just hemming and hawing and dragging their feet, and looks like they feel they're going to be more in debt before it's all over, with the sale of the house being stalled and more demands being made. So just prayers and trust that the Lord will take care of them, and he knows all things and he can do all things.
Amen.
So we ask for mercy upon them.
Amen.
This is Eric. I am I'm asking the Lord to assist our family. My Uncle Butch started chemotherapy yesterday. The cancer that was the cancer tumor that they removed from his leg, now the cancer has shown up in his lungs. And I'm just asking the Lord to do what the Lord does. I think I've come to understand that the Lord doesn't make mistakes. He has everything under control. And while we may not understand why things transpire the way they do, they're all according to his glorification. So I'd like for him to be healed, and I'm prayerful that the doctors and nurses will do their jobs to the best of their ability, and that all will be well. He is in good spirits, which I'm grateful for. But I can see the change in him over the last couple of weeks. And it's been very disheartening for me. And also, and in a moment of disclosure, Sister Shirley talked about her brother-in-law, and then in her hospice. Well, that brother-in-law is my uncle as well. So I'm a bit perplexed today. So but I thank God that there is a family of this group who I know are sincere, and I know that prays, and I know that we care about each other, and so I'm grateful to spend some time with this family this evening. So thanks be to God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Well, this is James, and I want to share that my son-in-law is doing better. He's in the hospital on a vent with COVID, but they're trying to get him off the medication and off of the vent, trying to wake him up. So we thank God that he's improving, and we pray for his continuing improvement.
Dr. James.
Yes.
I wanted to ask Jerry, how's your grandbaby?
He's doing really good. Still not really changed. I mean, but he's doing good. He seems to be moving okay and everything for now. So we still don't know how his life is going to be getting older. But thank goodness he's still with the family that's, you know, taking care of him. And so he's doing much, much better. I did get a chance to talk to his mother, and you can tell she's a little embarrassed maybe by everything that's happened. And I told her to please reach out for me, and that we were praying for her, and that everything is going to be okay. And if she needs to talk, she needs to reach out to me. And I think that made her feel a little better, because, again, she's like, well, I haven't really been talking to anybody. And I said, no, you've been kind of almost hiding, and that's not the way to handle this. You need to talk and let us talk to you and make you feel better. So, but unfortunately, like I, you know, have said before, she is still with this guy that did what he did to the baby, and that just worries me a little bit. But thank the Lord that the baby's doing okay and moving okay and is coming out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Well, God, we thank you for today.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for each and every day that you allow us to be here.
Yes.
We thank you, God, for being there with us and for us, even when we act in a way that's not pleasing in your sight. You still love us, and we don't understand that kind of love, but we're so grateful that you love us. And God, we're so grateful that you saved us, and we're grateful that for life so far, even the difficult times and the lessons we've learned. And God, we're grateful for a life to come. And we thank you for a Savior that gave his life for us, that we might have the right to that eternal life. God, today we lift up in a special way Sister Shirley, and she thanks God for the grace and mercy that has been extended to her. And she celebrates her birthday, and we are excited about that. Dr. Susie also celebrates her birthday. But her brother-in-law is entering hospice, so we pray that you would touch him in a special way and comfort him as only you can, and comfort his family and those that are caregivers.
Amen.
That will be caring for him.
Yes, Lord.
For as a hospice chaplain, I know how difficult it is for the caregivers. So give them the strength that they don't have, but we know that you have. Dr. Susie is grateful to see another birthday, and we pray a special prayer for her son, James, who's in the hospital and was not able to be out of the hospital on his mother's birthday, but we know that he wishes he was out of the hospital. And God, we pray for Dr. Susie and all of her family, and we ask that you would strengthen him in a special way, and we pray a special prayer for James, that you would touch him, God, in the pain and discomfort that he has to endure, that he has endured. We pray for total healing in his body from the top of his head all the way to the soles of his feet. So we pray for him in a special way. We thank God for sustaining Dr. Susie. And we thank God that she's been a help to people, so many people, so many families, and the testimony of the one family that she was influenced in and helped. We're so grateful that you use her in a special way and that she is a willing servant. We also pray for Sydney, her daughter, that you would bless her and keep her in a special way. And God, Margaret in Florida, praising you for allowing her to be home safely for traveling mercies. So we're rejoicing for her family, just to continue to bless them in a special way. And we pray that the family that is selling a house and going through difficulty and stalled that selling situation, that you would touch that situation in a special way, that the sale would go through and that the family would receive the resources that they need. And God, we know that you have all power in your hands and the cattle on a thousand hills are yours. So God, provide them what they need. And God, Eric, we pray in a special way for his uncle, Uncle Butch, who has cancer that has spread now from his leg and showing up in his lung. And God, he started chemotherapy, and even though he has good spirits and a good attitude, we know that it's difficult, and Eric can see the changes in him. But so we pray for the doctors and the nurses as they care for him. And we also pray for the family that cares for him. Give them the comfort and strength that they need. And also Sister Shirley's brother-in-law is also Eric's uncle. So we pray a special prayer for him. And God, we lift up Jerry also and his grandbaby, who is doing well, doing better. And we pray for his daughter in a special way, God, who has not reached out and is also with the person that hurt the grandbaby. So we pray for her in a special way, God, that she would be her eyes would be open, her heart and mind would be open, that she would see what it is that she should do. We need you in that situation, God. And I'm lifting up my son-in-law, Sean Evich, that you would bless him in a special way, God, as he struggles with COVID. He's getting better. And we pray for his continued strength, and we pray that he would be able to be awakened soon. It's been about 3 weeks now, so we need your touch and your strength. We also pray for my daughter, who is by his side, who is just beside herself with concern. But give her the strength that she needs and also their children. And we're going to continue to give the praise, you the praise, the honor, and the glory that you deserve, God. We pray for this Bible study in a special way. Thank you, God, for all that you are to us, all that you are, that you have been. Thank you for sustaining us, keeping us, loving us, tolerating with us, and help us, God, as we strive to help each other and be the light on the hill and the salt that hath not lost its savor, that we might help others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. With that, I'm going to start off tonight and ask for a roll call. And as we do so, I just want to remind everybody that I'm just praising the Lord for all of you, because all of us teach the Bible study. You know, when we share questions that the Lord brings to us, it's most likely somebody out there who's thinking the same thing. So you become a mouthpiece for them. And many have written and shared that they are so grateful for the questions we ask, for the interaction that we have. And so we just have to understand that our dialogue is making a difference. It's causing people to think. It's causing people to ask a question. What must I do to be saved?
Amen.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. So who do we have on the road tonight on the call?
Shirley from Maryland.
Britt from Indianapolis.
Margaret from Florida.
Eric in Ohio.
Jerry in Maine.
James in Ohio.
All right. I think
I'm here.
Hey, Joan in Maine. How you doing, Joan? We miss
hey,
you.
Hey, in there. I miss
good,
y'all.
Good. You keep
I can't wait to be here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here.
As well.
So,
thank you.
I think there were a couple of people who called, and I think it was Sister Edith. She sent an email or text and said that she asked us, I'm sorry, I didn't remember, to be praying that she is going to have surgery. They had to move her surgery from September to November. Mm-hmm. And so instead of her having the surgery this month, she's going to have the surgery in November. And asking that we will, you know, keep her in prayer because they've had to postpone it a couple of times, that she wants to make sure everything, you know, kind of works out. And I wanted somebody else to write down the date. The surgery date is November the 16th. November the 16th. So we'd be mindful of lifting her up on that Bible study, the one before. So she can have the support. So all righty then.
At what time?
We know who we have on the bus.
At what time?
Is it? Oh, she Jones said seven-ish. Seven. Seven,
okay.
Jones.
All right, sounds good.
She said
thank
she
you.
Had to be there at seven. Mm-hmm. So, I had the question. What did you all think about last week's when we talked about Israel? And as we move from Israel to talking about Europe, what are you thinking so far about Dr. David Jeremiah's study? What perceptions are you all getting? Is Margaret there? Are you there, Margaret?
Yes, I'm here. What really struck me about the study of Israel especially was trying to understand the geographic boundaries and the amazement of seeing that part of Israel it has like these enclaves of Palestine. So it's like Swiss cheese. It's like they're in the middle, and then there's the wall that's made of wire and other things around the perimeter of the Green Line. And I had this like image, I had like a vision of like a beehive, and felt like the pulse of the beehive of Israel, of all this different cultures, strife, and tremendous power. Very much felt like I experienced Israel somehow for the first time in my life, although I've never been, but looked at pictures and videos and travelogues.
Thank you so much. Anybody else? I'll share a little bit. I was really excited because I had no idea of the fact that she was such a small, she started off from nothing and went to a very quickly fast-growing country that we, the United States, played a role in with Truman and how it impacted him to be a part of that history. And I never knew how detailed the United States has been involved in the things of Israel, and it made so much sense as to why and how and what positions we take when we're interacting with them. And so nor did I remember the Six-Day War and those things and how you can be attacked from three different areas at the same time and you still come out the victor. God is definitely on your side. And so I just am just thankful to see the magnanimity, the power of my God. And it just reminds me that it's nothing that God and I together, come on, can't handle.
Amen.
So it just brought that celebration to me. Anybody else? Okay, so for those of you, I know we all read about Europe. So what was one of the things that jumped out about the chapter in Europe? And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the scripture. Eric is going to talk about the formation that Dr. Jeremiah talks about of the European Union. And then Jerry's going to update us from where we were, where he left off, and bring us up to date about where things are with the European Union and what Trump did and Biden did, and just kind of bring us to current. So did anybody have anything that jumped out at them that during their study, or did everybody study? Did anybody study?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just asking. So we read the scripture about Daniel. So I want to read the next passage regarding Daniel, and then we'll move forward. It says, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. Then the king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, I'm trying to minimize this. I can't overdo it. Wise men, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven, come on somebody, who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to the things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what's going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was a dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hand he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air wherever they live. He has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. For iron breaks and smashes everything, and as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be mixed, will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. The king, then King Nebuchadnezzar, fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Whew. Lord have mercy. That was very deep.
Very deep.
So, to me, I think there's so much involved in this passage, but I think one of the things we needed to be reminded of is pretty straightforward, that the golden head was that of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. And as Dr. David Jeremiah was saying, these are kind of a reminder of how in the end times the ten kings will come, kingdoms will come together to reestablish the old Roman Empire, the only empire where it was in control of massed amounts of people. And that blew me away as I studied that it was worded, I wrote it down, the Roman Empire, last empire impacting so many people, the most people ever. It said that leaders afterward have tried to rule the world. The one world empire will become the stage for the Antichrist. So I can go through them and kind of let you know what they were if you all didn't kind of pick up on that. But so what to me that was happening is as Daniel talked to him, he was kind of careful to remind him that even his, so to speak, autocracy was under Almighty God. You know, he was saying, yeah, you a good king, all right, but you still under Almighty God, you know. And I think that was important that he let him know that it was the God of heaven that gave him dominion and power. So sometimes we have to be checked. And we have people who are in leadership in our world. And I think sometimes they forget who's in control. And I think sometimes we forget. So when that starts to happen in our country, when things start to get rough, we need to remember who's in control. So the first of the four world empires was the Neo-Babylon Empire of the Chaldeans that Nebuchadnezzar was to rule over probably for about 40 more years. And then there was the next thing, the Silver Empire, was the Medo-Persia, who was with Cyrus the Great. And Eric, did you want to talk about this or not? I can go ahead and finish.
No, you got it. Then, go ahead.
Okay. Then there were, you know, Persian emperors and all kind of stuff that was happening. But the third empire, which was the bronze, so we talked about the gold and we talked about the silver, and now we're talking about the bronze, right? That was Greece. Greece is going to rule over, it said, was to rule over the whole earth. That's interesting. Under Alexander the Great, right? That was the Greco-Macedonian Empire under Alexander the Great. And then the next one we see, the fourth empire, was when he talked about the legs of iron. They said that, who was that? The Romans were iron. The Romans were iron, the Roman Republic. It's not as valuable as gold and silver, but it was strong, the ability to crush, the ability to destroy the others. But guess what? It had its vulnerability when we looked at the toes, right? It talked about how it was mixed with clay. And it implied that the final phase would be marked by some federation rather than by a powerful single realm, but that the iron would still represent that influence of the old Roman culture and the tradition. And I think that mixture of the iron and clay is where that weakness and the confusion comes that points to the approaching day of doom and where we realize that the main leader that comes forth in the future as they pull all these empires together would be that of the Antichrist. Let's see. It says, not only Daniel 7, but parallel passages leave us in no doubt that the fifth realm is the kingdom of God, ruled over by Christ and enduring eternally even after its earthly millennial past is over. So those are the five realms that it kind of talked about. Is anybody want to add to that got something different? Eric, did you see something that you wanted to point out, or Jerry, about those fundamental kingdoms? Because those things are going to be reinstated, so to speak, or raised back up, the old Roman Empire, or the similarity to the old Roman Empire in the new Euro unity. We'll see that. That's all
well,
I have to
this
say.
Is Eric. This is Eric. I think what's interesting is that you look back to when this was written, Daniel's vision, and when you study history and see how those empires came into existence, and Daniel had the order correct too,
mm-hmm.
that there is no doubt that we can believe the rest of what God says in his book, in the Bible. Because as it even talks about, the gold, the bronze, the silver,
the
iron,
and all, those.
Mm-hmm. All of those things have, and even play in those dynasties, just as when you read, even in Jeremiah's book here, that the Greece warriors wore helmets and breastplates that were of the material that Daniel describes, which was the bronze. That the Romans carried, we're talking
iron.
About as being as iron, because they were cruel and they were ruthless. We get a picture of that when we look at Christ's resurrection and what was going on in Jerusalem at that time. And so when you really study, God's word, you can see the rest of the events playing out in today's world. And that goes into the formation of the New Rome Empire. The feet of clay has not yet taken place. The other four have. The other four kingdoms have come and gone. But he talks about the reformation of the old Roman Empire. And the old Roman Empire footprint was in what we call modern-day Europe. And in 1930, there was a French statesman, Aristide Briand, who after the World Wars and stuff felt that the way that Europe could be strong was to be united. Because you think about all the different countries in Europe, in France, England, mm-hmm. Scotland, Spain, Portugal, Bulgaria, you got Belgium, Switzerland, Kosovo, Slovakia. I mean, it's just a bunch of little countries. And they were all independent. They all had their own way of their own, languages, their own cultures, their own way of doing things. And so to think that you're going to have a united Europe with all of that going on, nobody
mm-hmm.
really gave that any
mm-hmm.
thought. But it wasn't until Hitler came about, and after the Second World War, that Churchill decided or made statement that there needed to be a new Nainik Europe, that there needed to be some steps towards unification. So in 1948, there was a conference held that only three countries attended, Brussels, Belgium.
Latvia.
Yes. Latvia. And even the person who thought that it should be there didn't send a representative, which was Churchill from England. So this is the start of this reunification of the old Roman Empire. And I'm not going to go through, you know, every step of it, but from 1948 through basically 2007, you see all of these countries come together, and now it's comprised of 25 countries. And you hear about the European Union. They have the euro. They have one currency. The borders, they have international trade. There's no borders and checkpoints like they used to back in the olden days. You come and go. But the thing that they don't have is that they don't have a true unity, because they still have their own cultures and they still have their own way of doing things. They have representatives that attend the European Union meetings, which is broken up. Their government, that institution is broken up into three separate entities, if you will, three bodies, if you will, the European Parliament, the Council of European Unions, and the European Commission. And each one of these makes laws and has conversations about things that they need to be doing. But no one person, no one thing has real power. The parliament has 751 elected members, and they serve 2.5 years. So that there's no, like in this country, we have, you know, the House of Representatives, you have the Senate, and then you have the president who is the figurehead for the country, if you will. The European Union does not have that. And so there's this missing piece, if you will, but the foundation for the old Roman Empire has been laid geographically. And as Dr. Susie said, this system is going to give way to the Antichrist. Because ultimately what happens is that 10 of these individuals get together and decide that they are going to be make themselves rulers, the ruling class, to make all of this stuff known. And then one will rise to take out three and become even greater. And what was interesting is that when people are trying to find a way to gain unity or look for someone, something to lead them, they will gravitate to whoever speaks the loudest, whoever talks out of both sides of their neck, as I like to say, because they'll promise everybody everything. You know, when you go back through Revelations and it says that, you know, he will come upon the scene promising peace for Israel. That after 3.5 years, and that peace is gone, right? But he's talking whatever it is that you want to, whatever it is that you think you need to hear, they will say.
Ain't that the devil?
It's correct, and that's exactly what it is. But what I found interesting in reading the chapter was, As I said, you know, God's word, you can trust and know that it is true, as Daniel said. But the first European commissioner, Paul Henry Spain, first president of European Parliament, is credited with making this stunning remark. We do not need another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of significant stature to hold the alliance of all people and to lift us out of economic mores into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, be he God or devil, we will receive him. send us a man, be he God or devil, we will receive him. And that man that he speaks of there will be devil, and he will bring this alliance to formation, to an appearance of formation. These are the toes that are of iron and clay. The iron piece is that they're economically tied together. Their laws are tied together. They have all that. But because of the different cultures, because of the different religious values, because of the differentness of their existence, they will not mingle and it will not be strong as iron itself. So that's the clay part. And we also are told that this union will come to place just before God returns, before Jesus returns back to the earth. That is the supernatural rock that crushes. When you read Daniel, it crushes the feet. It doesn't hit the head first. It doesn't hit the breast first. It hits the feet first, which is that which is to come. And if you take out the feet, then the rest will fall as well. But those have already fallen. So when we read that, we need to be mindful that these are the things to come. And as we look through our paper and as we pay attention to our news, we can see this formation of the old Roman Empire. We can see this gathering of the European Union and the things that they're trying to do. And we can be assured that these are the things that were talked about in Revelation and Daniel and the other prophets, that it is true, and we need to be mindful, and we need to wake up and be prepared to do what it is that we need to do as Christians because of what's coming.
Amen.
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 Amen. Jerry?
Hi, yes, this is Jerry from Maine. And Eric has pretty much hit on most of everything that I was going to say, except
No,
that's all right. That's fine. I did a little more research, and he talked about in 1948 was the first formation of the European Union, the first start, and there were three countries. And then what happened is that it kind of stayed three countries until 1951, and three more countries were started or came on the thing with the other three. So then there were, in 1951, there were six that signed on to be with the European Union. Now, since then, since that started, he mentioned 25. There's actually 27 countries now that are a part of the European Union. One of them used to be the United Kingdom, but the United Kingdom actually took their name out of it, and they're not part of the European Union anymore. So there is 27 that are part of it right now, as of this date. One of the things that Pastor Susie wanted me to talk about also was the Paris Agreement, or the Paris Accord, as they call it. And does everybody know what the Paris Accord is?
No, go ahead and tell us.
Okay, the Paris Accord, or the Paris Agreement, was thought up, and it was supposed to take hold, which it did in 2015, and it's where all the countries wanted to, the Paris asked the countries to come together to help with climate change, controlling pollution, exhaust, things like that because of climate change and some of the things that they said we've done to the earth that's caused a lot of the problems that we're seeing with climate in their view. Now, it was taken hold. It took hold in 2015. But when Trump came to office, Trump in June of 2017 signed saying that the United States would not be part of the Paris Agreement. So the United States was not part of the agreement that was supposed to take place because Trump did not agree with it and didn't want the United States to be part of it. Now, what happened was when Biden came to office, one of the first things that he did, it was actually on his first day of office, Biden signed it back into law stating that he wanted to be part of the Paris Agreement for climate control. So once again, Biden has signed it saying that the United States is part of the Paris Accord and the Paris Treaty. And that's it.
Okay.
Unless everybody has any questions.
So what we've kind of gleaned is that it looks as though things are progressing and they're reforming again. Is that what you see?
Exactly.
Jerry?
Exactly. Yes. Yes, that's exactly what's happening.
So what, those of you who are on the line, what does it make you think about? I know you, some of you are going, wow. Let us hear your, what your thoughts are.
One of the things that it makes me think about is it's way past time for playing church. That's what it makes me think about. Because, you know, when you hear the declaration or they're saying, send us, whether he's a God or he's a devil, we want that kind of leadership. I don't want the kind of leadership that is going to be evil. You know, and when he was talking about the different kingdoms, and one of the things that I know he had, you know, to do this, but in the Bronze, where it was the Greeks that took over, that's a very important time in biblical history because that's when Alexander the Great took over. And when it was over there in the Middle East, the Koine Greek was released, in which was written our scripture. And we get the Septuagint and all that stuff. And scripture was then, was able to be dispersed in that then known world. So it was a very important time in the Bronze period to where we have the Word of God. That was, you're going to ask me that? That was during Alexander the Great.
Okay. So this is what I'm hearing about what you just said, is that there are a lot of, maybe it was Eric. I heard that something else was happening in 1948, Eric mentioned. But that was also the same time that Israel was becoming a nation. So it's like God is doing something, and you see the enemy doing something.
Yeah.
So all this stuff is happening on the scene at the same time. You know, it's setting, everything is being set up for movement. But why is it that we fail to see it when it's in front of us? You know,
could it be
something
that
as simple
too close
as
to the situation?
Maybe, Bishop, but, I mean, just like there are people, do you remember when last year we all ran out of toilet paper?
Yeah,
remember when there was no toilet paper on the shelves?
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're laughing, but listen, this is what I got to say. Are you watching now? Are you noticing that the suppliers are cutting back?
Yes.
Or are you going to be caught again unaware?
Yes.
What does it take for us to start to go, wow, we need to pay attention so that we know what's going on? This is not, people just hoarding.
No.
People are aware of what's going on.
Right. Yeah.
that the times are changing, that we're getting ready to go back into some mess again.
Rationing.
That's
going
true.
Back into rationing. Like it's going back
That's
into
right.
rationing.
That's right. But it's just like what God gives us. God gives us information, puts it in front of our faces. Now, I don't get it, y'all. In front of our faces, yet we refuse to be prepared.
Right.
Well, you know, the attitude of many people, especially when we're speaking about eschatology, especially now in the 21st century, Jesus hasn't come back yet. We got plenty of time. That's the attitude of a lot of people. And but he has given us, in Matthew, the 24th chapter, he's given us these signs that will follow, these signs that will happen, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in different places, pestilence. We got that going on right now. Well, we've been had that. But Jesus said this is what's going to happen during this time. And then when you look at what the two brothers just expounded upon, the European Union and everything, to us, it's just everyday CNN, Fox, CBS, ABC, MSNBC news. That's all it is to the people that do not have their eyes open. But the scripture says that day shall not come upon you that believe as a thief in the night. So some of us need to turn our eyes and focus on what God is saying and have our ears attuned to the voice of God right now.
But isn't that what the devil would do? Come on, we just got through looking at spiritual warfare. Wouldn't the enemy barrage us with external stimuli so we don't see plainly?
Right.
Yes, he would.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
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 Yeah, this is Eric. So in the spiritual warfare, we know that is one of his tactics. So we need to be aware of that. And, you know, this study helps us to be aware of that, because I can't be aware of stuff that I don't even know if it's going on. I mean,
right.
I just
That's
can't
true.
Because I'm oblivious to the fact that it is going on. But because of a study like this, now it makes me say, oh, okay, now I have the information. Now what do I do with it? How do I use it? And that's where we are today, because people can't fathom that a book written thousands of years ago by people of another culture has an impact on our culture 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later. Mm-hmm. I mean, who if you're not a student of the Bible, if you're not a Christian and really studying, who would imagine that a captive slave in Babylonia is writing about the end times that's coming whenever it comes? And Daniel's been removed at least 3,000 years, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Give
right.
or take, you know, 100 here, 100 there. I mean,
right.
So then it becomes upon us that we that gather the information to be able to share that information with those who are close to us.
But,
and not that you can
Eric,
make them understand it, but just to
right.
share it with them so that they can be aware to know that what they need to do, especially for those like, at the end of our calls, to the invitation that if you want to be saved,
yes.
there's this opportunity to do so.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. And so with that, we say constantly we tell everybody to have a relationship with God. And
Amen.
I have so many of
Amen.
My friends that they say, oh, I talk to God all the time. Baby, you might talk to God all the time, but you don't know God if you're not reading the Word. Because it's
Amen.
In the Word that you find out who God is and how God operates, God's character. And I'm not saying you don't pray and to the Lord. I'm not saying that at all.
Well,
but I'm saying what defines and forms your prayer is the Word of God.
Is the Word of God.
Well, this is Eric.
Amen.
Let me say this, and let me say this, because I got to have some levity in my life today. But see, that's the part of the problem. They always talking to God, but they ain't listening.
They ain't heard a thing.
Amen.
They haven't heard anything.
They ain't hearing nothing.
Right.
You ever been in a relationship where all you did was talk, the other person, all they did was talk, talk, talk? That's not a relationship that's going very far.
All right.
That's not a relationship that's going very far.
Right.
But let me say this. You know, even those of us who read the Bible, we have to remember things like, for example, the Bible said that Daniel was the chief magi. Do you know it's the chief magi who set in place for the people to look for the star that the child would be coming? So if that same chief magi could set in place and prepare us for the Christ that was to come, why can't we believe that that same leader, that same person, could prepare us for what was coming?
Remember, we've said this quite a few times in Bible study that nobody wants to do the work. They don't want to put in the work.
Amen. Amen.
They want to listen to talking heads on TV. They don't want to lift up the Bible. Look at Dr. Jeremiah. He wrote this book. It's copyrighted in 2019. And we look at what's going on now, and you try to explain that to somebody, and they're saying, well, that's not what they said on TV. What are you listening to, okay? You need to be one with Christ, you know? One with Christ. Even if you don't read your Bible, join a church. Go to go to church so you can be with like-minded people so they can help you understand if you don't want to do the work.
Mm. Preach.
Amen.
Do the work.
You said a mouthful there, Sister Shirley.
Set
them out for.
Do the work.
And can I piggyback off what Sister Shirley said? Is, you know, to do the work takes what? It takes time. It takes effort.
Time, right.
And a lot of people will say, well, I don't have the time. And this is what I learned in school. This is what I learned in the Navy. And this is what I learned in my jobs that I've had. You make time to do what you want to do.
Well,
whatever it is.
Right. Amen to that. Amen.
You make time. If you're busy, and that friend comes by out of town unannounced, hey, you're going to get time to see your friend. My niece she flew up to Chicago when I was living there. She said, Uncle Michael, I'm in Chicago. I lived in Rockford, 2 miles away. I was in my car to see my baby. Because that's my baby. I wanted to see my little sweetie, okay? So I went there.
You make
time to do what you want to do. And I really want to know, I want to have those signs down. So when they do come up, every time I hear about an earthquake now, and especially in Oklahoma where I live now, Oklahoma has more earthquakes now than California. I think that's one of the signs that was mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah.
About announcing his soon coming. And we look at it, they're fracking. No, there are earthquakes in different places. Jesus said that in Matthew 24.
Right.
Yeah, but he said earthquakes, and he didn't say that they'd be fracking or whatever. You're right, there's still earthquakes. There's fracking, but it's still an earthquake. The earth is moving.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
In different places, because Oklahoma is not known for earthquakes.
Preach, bro.
There's a whole lot of
earthquakes. It didn't used to be.
All over the world.
It didn't used to be known for earthquakes.
That we're not even hearing about. It's all kind of environmental.
Amen.
Things happening in other countries. And as we study God's word and things that are happening, we ought to start becoming aware of the things that are happening, just like China and the influence that they're having all in Africa and in Europe and the Gog and the Magog. We haven't gotten to that yet, but, I mean, there are all kind of movements going on right now all over the world, and we only listen to our set news channels, but the environmental effects are also affecting population movements. We talk about famine and pestilence that is coming, and a lot of a lot of that is the effect, going to be the effect of climate. So, I mean,
yeah.
there are so many things that are happening right now that, that we need to look at and understand that, you know, these are a part of God's plan, but we need to be prepared for it. And it ought to make us more, you know, in Romans 13 and 11 says, you know, knowing the times, it's high time that we awaken out of sleep.
Yeah,
and I think God is trying to awaken us out of sleep so that we can become aware and make other people aware and start moving toward the, being the kind of people that God would have us to be.
Amen.
Yeah, there's so much happening. I've been looking at things for years, and there's so many shifts going on in power. That saying that Eric read about, you know, whether they be the devil or God, and we have people that are crying out for leaders like that now, all over the place,
now.
And even in this country. They don't really care who they are, what they've done. They don't care how they act. They just want somebody loud and to lead them. And it's scary. And it's not just in this country. That kind of thing is happening in countries all over the world right now. They are seeking kings, autocrats. So it's a changing, scary time right now.
This is Brett. Yeah, Brett, let's hear you, brother.
Okay. A few years back, Dr. Susie and I were talking about church, and one of the things that in our conversation that came up was the amount of people that go to a church service on a Sunday. Now, I'm 75. I don't know if anybody remembers back in the 60s or the late 50s, but it was not unusual for you to go in and see on the board back by the door, the main door, what last week's attendance was.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody remember stuff like this?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you walk into a church now, you're going to
see
probably 35.
I don't see it at all.
There you go. They don't have enough people to even count them anymore.
Right.
But here's what I see, because my dad taught me how to watch how things are progressing. And one of the things that I've learned is that when the conspiracies that the government had with the assassination of JFK, that started putting doubts into a lot of people's heads. The fact that the CIA and other people in that alphabet were using money from drugs that were allowed to come in and be sold on the streets of New York, California, and places like that, and eventually in Indiana and other little small places and towns. It put a lot of doubt in people's heads. And when you get to the state where you are paranoid about everything, you're going to start questioning. And then you had to split up the family. Now, my mom and dad were Christians. I mean, they were practicing Christians. My dad was a minister. My mother was a Baptist Sunday school teacher. And I was raised in the church. But the thing is, when you start getting families that, I'm talking about old families that used to go to church regularly. They were there on Sunday. They were there for Bible study. Somebody was on the usher board or sung in the choir. Or somebody was a nurse. When those families started splitting up, we saw the increase in juvenile delinquency, and we saw increases in the prison population because families split up. When families that were married, and somebody says, "Well, you can get more money, you can get on welfare, you can get this, you can get that, and get it free," that's when people quit caring. Hey, Tom, right now, if in front of my house I had a long table and I had food
and said it was free, everybody in the city of Indianapolis would be trying to get here. Because as long as somebody gives you something, you don't have to work for it, then you start getting your mindset to where you start, well, I'm not going to do that. Look at all these food pantries.
Yeah.
People talking about they're starving. All you got to do is get your butt up and go over to a food pantry. You can get some food.
Right.
But nobody wants to do that because now we have gotten lazy and complacent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, it's 8:24.
Okay, I'll make this real short. Prime example, the latest thing that has happened is that the government has given us $1,500 checks, and the thing is people think they got something. You ain't got nothing. And that's the same way it is with the church. I tell a person in a heartbeat, church is not going to make you a Christian. It's a place you can go and study. But what makes you a Christian is your heart. It is your mindset. It is your spirit. And the thing is that your spirit is what's going to save you. And Christians nowadays don't have the one-on-one experience. I got you. Ooh. All right, I'm done.
Thank you, Brother Brett. Listen, if you've been listening and as these approaching times are coming and you feel that you are not ready and you want to get ready, there's only one way to do that. The only way that you can be assured of that is to have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of life. And if you're willing to do that, and today is the day, I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. Lord God Almighty, thank you for all that you've done and the kindness and mercy that you've shown me. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his life on Calvary's cross. He was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and take control. I ask you to be the ruler of my life. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you are the Son of the living God, born of the Virgin Mary, the one that was crucified, the one that was buried in the tomb and rose and ascended into heaven. I ask that you would lead, guide, and direct my path as I surrender myself to you. And I will give you all the praise, honor, and glory. If you've prayed that prayer and believe that in your heart, then you are saved. You are a Christian at this point in time. And we welcome you into the family. We would ask that you would find a Bible-believing church where you can go and study the Word of God and be mindful. And at some point in time, take the public profession of being a Christian by being baptized in that church. But you don't have to be baptized. If you pray that prayer and believe that in your heart and confess your mouth, then you are saved and welcome.
Amen.
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 And continue studying with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you a child of God? Are you going through something and you don't know what to do? Can't sleep at night? It just might be that God is trying to tell you something. Bible study can help. On Tuesday, call in to 646-478-4932. That's 646-478-4932. The Word of God has never hurt anyone but helps to heal your spiritual mind. God changes things. Prayer changes things. But most of all, your faith, your trust, your love for God makes it all possible, only if you believe. This Bible study offers you a chance to get involved in God's Word. Don't forget that Dr. Susie is our host and moderator. Again, our number is 646-478-4932. We'd like to see you every Tuesday. Have a good evening.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.